Let's hear Parshas Korach. V'yikach Korach. Rashi brings down the famous Medrash that Korach and his men said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Amru lo, talistach shekula tcheles chayeves betzitzis. He asked Moshe Rabbeinu if you have a talis that's totally tcheles, the beged, doesn't you have to put tcheles on the tzitzis? So Rav Nassan Adler, the Rav of the Chasam Sofer, said, what was Korach hinting to here? Their taina was kulam kadoshim, meaning everybody's tcheles. The whole am is tcheles. So what do you need a leader for? You don't need a leader for. If everybody was lavan, then you need a tcheles. But everybody's tcheles. So what do you need the tcheles for? What do you need a leader for when kulam kadoshim? And Moshe Rabbeinu's answer was no. Even a talis tchulot tcheles still needs to put tcheles strings on it. You still need a leader, even if everybody's righteous. It's very nice, but you still need a leader. Moshe's response. The Chibina Rav, when he was a young man, was a big gaon, but he was in business, and his business was in coal, so selling coal. In those days, that was a very strong commodity. People not to use for heating, etc. So he used to be a coal salesman, and he did quite well. And one day he came to his Rebbe, Rav Meir Arik, and he wanted a bracha. He was about to go into a very, very big business deal in the coals. And so he wanted a bracha from his Rebbe, you know, before he does the deal. So he goes to his Rebbe, and his Rebbe says to him the following. He says, Hashem should help that you should invest all your money in this deal, and you should lose it all. With brachas like that, you don't need clothes, you know. Anyway, so that's why would he say that? He said that because the people in Shabin, they very much wanted the Rebbe to be their Rebbe. But he declined, he wanted to stay in business or whatever, and the Rebbe Meir Arik felt that he should go into the Rabbanut. And Mele, he gave him the bracha to lose his money so that he should have to, you know, go into the Rabbanut. That was bracha, quote unquote. But what happened, mice in the end? So this was towards the end of the First World War, and the Tribune Rav was made quite a big profit because he was selling the coals to the army, which they needed quite a bit of. So that's why he did very well. And it got to the point where they needed to order a huge shipload, you know, of coal, and this was a very lucrative deal. And this is the deal he asked his Rebbe, you know, about, and gave him the quote unquote bracha for. So what happened in the end? He got word somehow that the war was coming to an end. So even though he had already purchased this huge amount of coal to sell to the army, when the people from the army came to close up the deal, he told them something they didn't know. Right, he told them, listen, I have inside information that the war is about to end. So the coal, you don't need the coal anymore. So they said, oh yeah, okay, fine. Okay, they couldn't believe he would say it. I mean, why did he tell? He didn't have to tell them that, but he told them that, and they didn't buy the coal, and sure enough, the war was over, and he was stuck with all this coal that he invested in, and that's how he lost all his money and became the Rebbe. Yeah, as a side, the Shiloh was he chayev to do that? So if we were talking about Jewish people, he probably would be chayav because of stealing, gneivas das, mechach taus, or whatever. So he would probably have to tell them. But since we're dealing with goyim over here, probably he didn't have to really say anything. But being who he was, he did, and the rest is history. On the pasuk Vaya Ish Asher Yivchar Hashem, to Hashem chooses, brings here from the Chazon Ish that when it comes to shiduchim, a person could see very clearly the Yad Hashem, and if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, and it's going to happen. Chazon Ish tells a few mices like this. One of them, he says, the Chazon Ish reported that a man came to him, was looking for a shidduch, you know, for his daughter, and he heard about the certain bachur. So he wanted to ask the Chazon Ish about the boy, you know, for his daughter. So he asked the Chazon Ish, tell me, is this bachur like a lamdan? Is he considered a lamdan? You know, he's a learner, he's a good learner. So, truth of the matter, he wasn't. So, Chaznish wanted to say it in a nice way. So he said, listen, they are better learners than he. He says, okay, can I ask another question? He says, yeah. He says, what about his Yerushalayim? Does he have Yerushalayim, the Bachar? And Chaznish answered, they're people with a greater Yerushalayim than him. Okay, fine. So that was the end of that. A couple of days later, Chaznish gets a notice that the shidduch went through and they're getting engaged and whatever. So Chaznish is like, what? How could that be? So he asked the man, like, what happened? He says, yeah, what do you mean what happened? He says, I heard from the Rav all these good things, and therefore I went through with the Shidduch. He's like, good things? Like, what? He says, yeah, I asked about if the Bachar is a Lamdan, and you said there are greater Lamdanim than him. So I said, okay, fine, I'm sure he's not the Gadol HaDor, but the fact that there are better Lamdanim than him, meaning he's a good Lamdan, and they're just those that are better. And when I asked about Yerushalayim, he said, there's those with bigger Yerushalayim than him. He's like, okay, fine, there are, but okay, but that means he has Yerushalayim. He says, those that are better. So, took it as a good sign. Okay. On the Pasuk of Rav Lechem B'nei Levi, Rashi brings down, V'korach shepikech haya marab l'shtuzu. Says Korach was supposed to be an intelligent individual. What did he see to be involved with this shtus? So the Rebbe David Milelov, Piremis, teaches out the Rashi like this: that Korach shepikeach haya mara l'shtuzu. What did he see in this shtus to be a pikeach? That was a shtus to be a pikeach. He was a pikeach. Why was shtusu to be a pikeach? Meaning, why did he try to outsmart Hashem? He wanted to be outsmart Hashem. Oh, I know better than Moshe. I know better than Hashem. Why is he in this shtus to be a pikeach, to think he knows more than Hashem knows? Brings a maisa. There was once a yeshiva who owned a few stores. That's what he used to make, have some income for the yeshiva. They owned a few stores and he used to rent it out. And they used to rent it to different people with different businesses. Now, they didn't want five shoe stores, all the stores to be shoe stores. So they made sure that they each store had their thing and only that thing they're allowed to sell. So we'll give them names. So Reuven, he tried to rent one store, and he was supposed to sell. He got the deal to sell Sifrei Kodesh, Svarim, and also Kleik Divalik, pens and pencils and these type of things, right? That was his, and only he could sell that. That was Reuven. Shimon, he also rented a store, and Shimon was given the right just to sell pots and pans and dishes and Klei Bayit, as they call it, okay? Fine. So what happens? Reuven didn't feel like selling school supplies, and he still stayed with his rights to sell the Sfarim. He just sold the Sfarim. Now Shimon saw this, and he thought, he's not selling any school supplies. I might as well sell it, even though he didn't have the right to do that. But he said, nah. So he decided he bought a big purchase of school supplies just before the school year started. Shimon, and he made a killing. He did very well. So he continued again the next year. Again, he's selling. He started selling regularly. School's probably doing very well. Shimon. Reuven, the whole time, who could have obviously said something because only he had the right to sell the school's money, but he didn't say anything. Fine. Anyways, eventually, what happens? Reuven was in need of money. He was starting to marry off his kids or whatever, and he needed some more income. So he thought, now I have a right to sell schools. I might as well go into school supplies business also because I need some extra money. So he buys the supplies and things. He starts to sell it. As it happened, he did quite well. But Al Cheshbon and Shimon, now Shimon's business went down. But he had no right to sell to begin with, right? So what happens? Shimon comes to him and he's furious. He says, "Chutzpah! How can you do this? How can you open? You're selling the school supplies after I've been selling it." No, no, no. So, Reuven's like, excuse me, you have no right to sell school to begin with. I was given the right, not you. He goes, I don't care, it's not right what you did. And he's screaming, mamash chutzpah. It reminds me of that joke. There's once there's a woman used to sell in front of this building bagels every morning. She'd sell a bagel, a dollar a bagel. Right? She'd assign a dollar a bagel. And one of the businessmen who used to work in that building used to every day come to work and see this woman selling these bagels, and he used to give her a dollar, but he never took a bagel. Yeah, he just gave her a dollar, but never took a bagel. And this went on day after day after day, handed her a dollar for the bagel, but never took a bagel. And they never exchanged any words to each other. He just paid her the dollar, and that was it. So until one day, years later, he gives her the dollar and is about to go into the building as he does every day. And all of a sudden, she talks for the first time. He says, "Excuse me." Turns around and goes, "Yeah, what?" He says, "It's $1.25. That's the definition of chutzpah. Anyways, so what happens? So Reuven was a big tzaddik. And instead of getting upset, and then he says, "You know what? Fine." He says, "Shimon, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to sell anymore. I'll let you sell. Go back to selling the sole salesman of the school supplies. Fine. And not only that, Reuven said, I'll even pay you for your losses. Because since I opened, you'd lost money. I'll even pay you for your losses." Okay, what tzaddik, mamish lifnei mishur hadin. So what happens? Shimon says, "No, I don't care. I'm taking you to a din Torah." Even after all the... No, taking you to a din Torah. So they decided to go to a certain rav, this dayan, So they went to this dayan, and they said... So dayan heard, it's like, what's going on over here, So he started telling off Shimon. He says, "Shimon, what are you doing? Look at this guy, he has a full right." And he really gave it to him. Gave it to Shimon. Okay, so that was the end of that. Story continues that, as we said, Reuven had to marry off his kids, and he bought this apartment for his son or whatever, and he needed this quite a large sum of money, thousands of shekels, to pay this contractor, a kablan, and he needed to pay it by the next day. And he didn't know where he was going to get this money from. So he's sitting in his farm store, and normally he closes the store around 4 o'clock. He decided, "No, I need Hashem's help for this one. I don't know how I'm going to get the money for tomorrow." So he closes the store early, and he stays in the store, just closes, locks the door, and he goes in the back room, and he starts saying Tillim. That's his Hishtadlis. So he's sitting in the back room, he's saying Tillim. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. But he doesn't pay attention, because he's saying he wants to say his Tillim. Knocking on the door, knocking, getting louder and louder, and Reuven's like, "What's going on?" Okay, so he gets up, and he goes to the door, and he opens this door, and he sees this Hasidish-looking guy. And he says, "Yes, what can I do for you?" So he says, "Are you so-and-so?" And he says, "Yes." So he says, "Well, I'd like to make an order of some svarim." He says, "Okay, what would you like?" So he says, "Well, I want 10 shasim, I want 10 shulchan aruch, sets of tour, 10 of this and that, and 100, he ordered mamash 100 for him." So he was like, what's going on? So he says, "Listen, I just came from America, and I'm part of a certain Hasidish group, or whatever, and we opened a brand new base medrash. So my Rebbe sent me to Eretz Yisrael to buy svarim for the whole base medrash, a brand new base medrash." And so he said, "Why did you come to me, Dafka?" Reuven said. So the guy says, "I'll tell you, my Rebbe knew this certain dayan here in Eretz Yisrael, and he contacted him. He said, an honest guy where I can buy all these svarim from." So he said, "Yeah," and he gave me your name. Who was this dayan? The dayan that Reuven and Shimon had their din Torah with. So he saw right away, Reuven was a big tzaddik, So he said, "Oh, I know a salesman is a big tzaddik," and he pointed it to him. Anyways, so he said, "Listen, I heard such nice things about you, such an honest guy. I'm going to give you all the money up front, even though, he has to order these things, obviously." He goes, "Here, I'm paying you for this farm, everything all up front." He gave him like thousands of shekels, which was exactly the amount he needed to pay his kavanah the next day, and all was well. Okay. The pasuk says, "Bezos teidun ki Hashem shlachani, etc. ki lo milibi." So there's a question they ask. It sounds from the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, "Listen, I didn't make all this up. It's not me. Kosh Baruch Hu saying, who should be the ruler, who should be the Kohen Gadol. It's not me. It's a lo milibi, and I'm going to prove it to you that it's not milibi." So therefore, it sounds like that the Korach etc. is meant that they were claiming that Moshe Rabbeinu is making this up, which is difficult because Hashem promised Moshe Rabbeinu gam b'cha yaminu le'olam that the Jews will always believe in you. So it sounds like they're not believing in him. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in time of the Kra, he answers, he says the following. He says, yeah, they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. They did believe him. Aye, so what does it mean, lomili be? Their taina was, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so great, that he was able to do whatever he wanted with the koach of his tefillah. And therefore, that was their taina, that Moshe was davening when he davens, whatever he davens for comes true. And therefore, he wanted to daven that Aaron, his brother, should be the Kohen Gadol, and his descendant should be the Kohani. And even though that's not what Hashem really wanted, but Moshe has so much koach that he can, through his tefillah, pull the strings. He says, that was the time. And Moshe says, no, lomili be. It's not, I didn't make this up. I didn't start davening for things that Hashem didn't want. This is all of my what Hashem wants. Okay, it's a peladik of Maisa with an interesting shiloh that comes along with it. And also on the pasuk, "Bezos teidun ki Hashem shlachani," brings it on the pasuk. Mice with the Admor Mishinava. He says once he told his chassidim, that the group of chassidim, he says, "This Shabbos I'm going away, and I'm going to this certain town." So his chassidim said, "That's very strange, because they didn't know there's no like chassidim, you know, is over there in that town, and Mapitom he's going to go there for Shabbos." So they're very interested. So they said, "We're going along. what's going to be fine." So they went along with him, and so the chashuvim of the city greeted him. Oh, the Rebbe says, and they set him up to a place to stay, and they said, "Okay, so the Rebbe's going to dub in the great synagogue, you know, of the town, whatever." So he goes, "No." He says, "I'm not davening there." He says, "I'm going to daven in the shul of the tailors and shoemakers." You know, they used to have shuls by calling their professions. You know, the tailors, pshuteyam. You know, so just what's going on? The Rebbe's going to daven. Why is he want to daven with the Pashad Ayidin? You know, and only that they stay daven with Hashkama, and the Rebbe likes to daven a later minion. So they couldn't really. Why would he want to daven? So okay, something must be cooking over here. Fine. So sure enough, Shabbos morning he goes to shul, and like we said, the pasha to shul, and okay, davening, everything seems to be going, you know, normal, nothing special. All of a sudden comes the Kriyas HaTorah, and for maftir they call the chassan for, he has a, you know, ofruf, call, you know, for maftir. So the chassan gets up to say the, you know, brachas on the Torah. All of a sudden, the Rebbe starts banging on the table. Starts banging on this. He was looking at what's going on. And as the you know, chassan was, you know, saying his brach, he's banging on the table. And I couldn't understand, what is he doing? Fine. So then the balkari reads the thing. The chassan says the after brach is again. Starts banging on the table. Then he gets up to say the haftorah. So he starts the, you know, the brachas of the Torah again. The Rebbe. He starts banging and banging as he's saying the bracha of the Torah. And then he starts saying the whole time while he's saying the bracha, while he's saying the whole of Torah, and the other, the whole time the Rebbe is banging, making. Then what? Couldn't understand. So what happened? Afterwards, Motzei Shabbos, you know, Chassidim says, "Okay, now what's going on over here?" So he says, "Okay, I'll tell you what's going on." He said, this chassan came to me last week, and he was crying to me. He said, "What?" He said that his offer is coming up, and he lives in this other town, you know, his offer is coming up, and who comes to the offer? If the whole, you know, the mishpacha, except for the kala, but the kala side, the future in-laws and everything come to shul. And he says, "Rabbi, I have a big problem." He says, "Because I have a speech impediment. And I stutter or whatever, and if I'm going to get up there and say the bracha and the stutter, that could be the end of the shidduch. They're going to, what am I going to do?" So the Rebbe, so he says, "So I told him, don't worry, just go, I'll take care of things." So he says, "That's what happened." So I came to the shul, and that's why I was banging my nuts, so nobody can hear him say the bracha, hear him stuttering, and that was it. So that was the Maisa Shehaya, but it was this Maisa was mentioned to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and Stam, as an interest sake, like he was asked, how could the Rebbe do such a thing? Why? Because it's brought down that a person, in order to be Yotzi's Mei Brachas, has to hear, should hear the Brachas for the Torah and for the Haftor, whatever, and you can be Yotzi's Mei Brachas. So how can he disturb the Tzibur and that they can't be Yotzi the Mei Brachas? One question. Another question is a more passionate question. Did he have a right to make himself, you know, vayish himself like that? I mean, he's a chashuv Rebbe. He makes himself look like a fool. I mean, everybody thought he was crazy, you know. Can he vayish himself like that? That was the two questions he asked Rav Chaim. So he says, as far as being mevayish, he says the truth is it's a big shaila in the post scheme, whether he brings from the Pischei Tshuva, whatever, and Yoredeya, etc. There's a big shaila whether the Rav is allowed to mevayish him in order to save somebody else from a bizayon, which is what he was doing. So he's a big melacholik. So he says, Mistam is held like that son, that you are allowed to mevayish yourself to save somebody from bizayon, as far as that goes. And he says, but how could he interrupt everybody from hearing the brachas and everything? So he says it could be that it was such a situation, scenario, can even border on pikuach nefesh. You know, like when they find out that they're, you know, that he's stuttering, could be very well they're going to break the shidduch, and it can lead to terrible, terrible things, a heart attack, or no, whatever, who knows what it's going to be. So it's a shaila of pikuach nefesh, so it could be that it's not to be allowed to do such. Okay. So, interesting, not so well known Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim. You know the more famous stories. There's a not so famous one. He brings on the pasuk Vayula Osli Bnei Yisrael. This story was told from by Rav Moshe Mordechai Schulzinger, who is Zatzal, whose father was Talmid in the Yeshiva in Radin with the Chafetz Chaim. So he had like first-hand story from his father, who learned by the Chafetz Chaim. And he said that the Chafetz Chaim used to give like a Musar Shmuz once a week to the Bachrim in the yeshiva. So he says one day the Chafetz Chaim gets up to the bima to give the Shmuz as he did every week, and he says, "I'd like to apologize. Today is no Shmuz." And he goes down. That's very strange. You know, he isn't, it's okay, he's not there, something happened, but he's standing right there, and he gets a good, you know, no shmooz today, and he just gets down and goes and sits and learns. Like, so what's going on? So they asked him, why didn't you give the shmooz? So he says, I'll tell you. He says, just the other day, I got the new volume of the Mishnah Berurah, next volume that I put out, just came out, and I was going through it to check it, to see if everything's good, and everything made mistakes. So he used to be very didactic, you know, to go through every page and make sure there's, you know, shouldn't cheat anybody, there's mistakes or printing errors or whatever. So he said, I was going through the Mishnah Berurah, and he said, so therefore, I felt that I didn't learn enough Torah. And then everybody said, how can I give a Musar Shmuz if I didn't learn enough Torah? I can't give a Shmuz if I didn't learn enough Torah. And I couldn't give. So they say, they comment, he says, now, first of all, what does that mean? Like, he was not doing anything? I mean, he was obviously, you know, did, I'm sure, his usual learning anyways. And what does it mean he wasn't like, checking through the Mishnah Berurah, not checking through some Chas v'Shalom, some novel or something. Why the Mishnah Berurah, all the halachas and the post scheme, and that, you know, that's not called learning? So you say that, yeah, it's called learning, but it's not the learning that he expects of himself. And therefore he said, I can't give the shmooze. So that itself was a Musar Shmuz. When the boys heard that, they sat down and they learned with all the more bread. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so very Peladika Maisa here from told over by Rav Chaim Orbach about his father, who was Shlomo Zalman Orbach, not our Shlomo Zalman, this another Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who was a Rav in Pozna many years ago. And his son, Chaim Orbach, told over this following story. So he says his father, Shlomo Zalman, he came after the Spanish Inquisition. He came to Posen, and he didn't have any family, any parents or nothing. And he was just sitting and learn. He learned day and night, a big, very big masmi. Says one day the Rebbe Eliakim Getz, who was the one of the dayanim of the town, you know, came up to him and said, you know, I have a daughter. He couldn't go to his parents. He didn't have any parents, the boy. But he came up to the boy. He says, I have a daughter. Maybe you're interested in shidduch, whatever. So he goes, no, nafshi chashka b'torah. I just want to sit and learn. I don't want other distractions. I can't get married. I don't want to get married, whatever. So he said, no. He convinced him. He said, listen, don't worry. I'll set you up your own room in this farm. And you don't have to have any worry. You can sit and learn, whatever. Anyway, so fine. He agreed, and he ended up marrying Rebbe Yakim's daughter. So what happened? One day there is a magefa spread in the city. People were dying, much left and right, day after day. Terrible, terrible magefa. So of course the Rav got the people together, and they went and fasted, and this and that. And there wasn't stopping. So the Rav got everybody together in shul, and he said, listen, if I'm asking if anybody knows anything that maybe something suspicious, something that we need a tikkun. Obviously, we're doing something wrong over here that needs a tikkun, and I don't know what it is. So if somebody knows, sees something, maybe they can tell me and we can work on it. So sure enough, somebody came up to him and says, listen, look, like, it's not pleasant for me to tell you this, Rabbi, but your son-in-law, Shlomo Zalman, I notice that every night he secretly wanders off into the forest. And I don't know what he's doing in there, but it just doesn't look too good. So I just figured, especially because I'm a gayf, I thought, put two and two together, So he says, okay, fine. So he takes with him another Rav, the Av based in Rav Tali Katz. So he brings with him Rav Tali Katz, and he said, we're going to follow him, see what's going on. So sure enough, exactly as this person had said, they see Rav Shlomo Zalman going into the forest. It was late at night, and with a little candle in his hand, and he wanders into the forest. So they go after him at a distance and thing. And what do they see? They see that he sits down on the floor and he starts saying Tikkun Chatzotz, davening for the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. So he's saying Tikkun Chatzotz. Okay, but then there was something very strange. What? They started hearing another voice besides his voice, but he didn't see anybody else go in. It was just him, but they heard another voice, and it clearly was somebody else, but they very strange. So afterwards, anyways, he finished Tikkun Chatzotz, he came out. So his father-in-law Eliakim approached him and he says, what's going on over here? He says, what? He says, come on, I heard you over there say Tikkun Chatzotz in the forest, and I heard another voice. So who was there with you? I didn't see anybody else. He says, tried to, push him off. He says, no, I'm Gozer, Zera, you have to tell me who was it. He says, okay, if you're Gozer, I have to tell you. Who is it? He says, Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He says, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, okay. So he says, you say Tikkun Chatzotz with Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He says, yeah. He says, okay. So in that case, why don't you ask Yirmiyahu HaNavi, what's going on with this Megefa? Maybe he can help us stop the Megefa. He says, okay, fine, I'll ask him. So, fine, next night, he comes back. He says, okay, I asked him. And he said, no, what did he say? He says that, interesting fact, he said the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 40 years prior to that. That the Beis HaMikdash was actually supposed to be destroyed. It was actually 40 years before it actually happened was the real time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because the people were not on the proper acting properly. But Hashem pushed it off. Why? He says, because the people had a schus that they weren't talking in shul. And since they weren't talking in shul, even though they were Rishayim or whatever, doing bad things, but since they weren't talking in shul, Hashem said that it didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And he kept it going for 40 years until at that point they started talking, and then that was the end of the Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, you want to know what Gaif is happening? Let's listen to what's going on in Shul. That's the answer. So the Rav heard this, so immediately gathered the Kehillah together and told them words of Chizek, how's important, Mikdash Ma'at, we have to make sure you don't talk in the Shul. And they related the story that happened, that this came from Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He told them that's the reason for the Megefa, and everybody heard that. There's not a sound, and you can hear a pin drop in Shul. And sure enough, and the Megefa came to an end. Beautiful. Okay. So, Maisa, on a pasuk v'yalavu alecha, Rabbi Levoy said that there was a bacher that was learned in Bnei Brak, and he lived in Yerushalayim. His money was in Yerushalayim, and then when it came the first day to start Zman, so he making his way to Bnei Brak. So he had with him, the first day's money, and his luggage, this suitcase, that suitcase, whatever. And he took a mini bus, a cab, a taxi, and mini bus with a number of people in the bus, a little bus, and to Bnei Brak. You're showing Bnei Brak. Fine. So the driver is zipping down Kvish Echad, like the main highway, Yerushalayim Tel Aviv highway. He's zipping down, going quite quickly, and the window was open, and the bacher's hat flew out of the window. And it was his, you know, new Borsellino, whatever. So he didn't, you know, take too kindly to what happened. So he said, he told the driver, quick, stop, stop, stop. He goes, what's going on? He goes, my hat fell out the window. And, you know, the driver is driving quite fast, and so he's already quite ways past the hat already. And he said, no, let's stop, quick. You have to just, you know, get my hat for me. You can have me. So the driver's like, what do you mean get your hat? What am I supposed to do? I can't drive backwards on the highway, you know. So he said, no, but I need my hat. So he said, look, what am I going to do? I have to get off at the next exit, turn around, call back around the highway, go out the other way, and come back, you know. He said, and I just have the passengers here in the car. You know, what am I supposed to do? So then they got this whole discussion, in the car, you know. Some are saying, oh, poor kid, come on, you know, go. And the other thing, no, I have an appointment to make, you can't go back, it's not right, and this and that, whatever. Anyways, the driver and you know, most of the people felt it was not more correct, that they had to go back and cause, you know, and so he said, I'm sorry. So the boy said, it's okay, so just let me off, because I want to get my hat, so let me off. So he said, okay. So he pulled over to the side of the highway, and the bacher got out with all his luggage and everything, and it was a boiling hot day, and he just made his way back up back to where his hat was, which is a few kilometers away by then, and in the heat with his luggage or whatever, and he schlepped all the way till he got his hat, and he found his hat, he got it, and then he had to again try to hitchhike and get a ride from the highway to stop on it. Okay, whatever, it was a little pasha, but was, and he got his hat back. Meanwhile, what happened with the taxi, though? The taxi continued, and further on along the way, got into a very serious accident, and people in the taxi died and were seriously injured. It was a terrible calamity. So Zilberstein points out, he says, okay, one doesn't know, but he says sometimes there can be a gzera, you know, against a person or people, gzar d'avamavet, they deserve to die, but Hashem in his rachmanis gives them a chance, says, here, I'm giving you a chance to do a mitzvah, not easy mitzvah, and if you do it, in atzchus, I'll spare your life. So who knows, it could be that these people, had they been Moser Nevesh and helped this yeshiva bacher and helped him get his hat, that was the chesed that Hashem gave him an opportunity to do, but he didn't take up on it, and unfortunately they had their tragic end. Okay, so one last little cute little story from back to the Chibinarav we mentioned earlier. Brings on the pasuk b'taval b'mayim. It says when the Chibin Arav was a young boy of 6 years old, he was once in the mikvah, went to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, you know. So he went to the mikvah, and he came out, and then he was drying himself. So some of the people there said to him, what are you doing? He says, what are you doing? What am I? I can't have the mikvah. I'm drying myself. He says, yeah, they told him, but don't you know that you're not supposed to dry yourself when you come out of the mikvah? Because there's an inyan that the water from the mikvah should stay on you and should go inside you and kaddish you, whatever. So you're not supposed to dry yourself when you get out of the mikvah. So the little boy, 6-year-old boy, Jimmy Rav, said, listen, I do this because they're great people that dry themselves when they come out of the mikvah. They heard, okay. So after they came out of the mikvah, so they said to the little boy, he says, who are these great people that you're talking about that dry themselves when they come out of the mikvah? He says, I don't know. He says, I learned Maseches Yoma, and it says over there that the Kohen Gadol, when he comes out, he goes in the mikvah, Allah v'nistapeg. He gets out and he dries himself. So he goes in the mikvah and he gets out and he dries out of the mikvah. So he says, all these Kohenim Gadolim, they're great people, and then they dry themselves when they come out of the mikvah. So end up being a whole diyun that this we're a 6-year-old kid, that's pretty sharp, but there's a whole diyun after, as if that's maybe that doesn't apply because it could be a chatzitza, that's why he has to dry himself, whatever, but anyways, you said we're a 6-year-old boy, it's pretty good. It's a shame we should be zoicha to once again have the Kohen Gadol be toivol in the third base of Migdash when we see the coming of Mashiach. Tzidkenu b'mhivri amenu amen.